This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. And good morning, my friend. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday for this 23rd day of February 2019. Sports Saturday brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steerin, your State Farm insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Huff & Sons Funeral Homes. CTI Fiber. Hillsboro Area Hospital. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. I'm Terry Tote. Thanks for tuning in on WSMI Sports Saturday. We have a busy sports day. We're going to be hearing from Hillsboro Lady Hilltopper head coach Brett Teakin coming up here in just a moment, from Sammy Matouche as well. We're going to be talking with Tim Mize, who's been doing the play-by-play for the Lady Hilltoppers as they move along. And congratulations to Nokomis High School as Nokomis won the regional championship at Neoga last night. And we'll have some various guests along the way. But first off, to bring you up to speed, in case you've been in a cave someplace and didn't know, in the IHSA Class 2A Girls State Basketball Tournament at Redbird Arena yesterday, Hillsboro lost to Chicago Marshall 50-41. Toppers led at the half, led most of the way, and then Marshall put the pressure on late in the ball game to pull out a 50-41 win. So that moves the Hilltoppers into the third place game, where they will take on St. Joe Ogden. St. Joe Ogden was defeated by Totopolis 50-31. And that Hillsboro St. Joe Ogden game is set for 5:30 this afternoon. Of course, we'll have live coverage for you here on WSMI FM 106.1, as it's going to be a rematch between Chicago Marshall and Totopolis. Those two teams met in the championship last year, and Marshall won it, as they are the defending Class 2A champions. Well, WSMI's Tim Mize caught up with Hilltopper head coach Brett Teakin following yesterday's ball game against Chicago Marshall.
Here with Topper head coach Brett Teakin. And Teak, the night was great in so many ways, just didn't get the victory. But other than that, my gosh, what an effort, and what just a fantastic way for your Toppers to make their state debut.
Yeah, they did a great job. We, especially the first half, we played really well. We were playing the pace that we wanted to play at. The second half, they got a little bit more physical with us. They made things a little bit tougher, and we turned the ball over a little bit more. And we just didn't shoot real well tonight either, and that kind of hurt us too.
When your head hit the pillow last night, you probably dreamed of a first half like you guys had.
Yeah, I couldn't have imagined a first half going any better, up 10 at halftime. But I told the girls at halftime, they're going to come out clawing and fighting as hard as they can, and we're going to have to be able to withstand it, and they got us.
Sports are a funny thing. In the first half, you took care of the ball but didn't rebound. In the second half, you rebounded but didn't take care of the ball.
Yeah, that's true. We talked about rebounding. I didn't think we did as good a job as we could have done in the first half. And we improved and did better, but we didn't take care of the ball in the second half.
Were they every bit as quick and athletic as you thought they were going in?
Yeah, they were everything I kind of imagined they would be. And they were a little more physical maybe than I thought they would be, but they were just as quick and a little more physical.
And the game started in such a great way with Sammy hitting that three on the wing, and that really seemed to get everybody kind of settled into the game.
Yeah, whenever they came out in the zone, I was happy because I thought we'd be able to get some shots against it, and then they went to man-to-man, and then they switched up the zone a little bit in the second half, and whenever they switched, it gave us some problems on their press. So, yeah, it got off to a good start, but we just couldn't maintain it in the second half.
Chicago schools, especially publicly schools, a lot of times have a different view of, you know, schools down our part of the woods. But I guarantee you, they left respecting the Toppers tonight.
Oh, you bet. They, I saw them shake hands, and whenever Sammy's getting ready to shoot the three-pointer, the Hudson girl and Butts and some of their better players went and really shook her hand and nodded their heads. So, yeah, we earned a lot of respect from them tonight.
And you want to win. That's the point of doing all of what you do, put the hours in. But in some ways, to earn the respect of a perennial power like that, that is a win in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in time, you don't necessarily just look for empty kind of acknowledgement and stuff. But it is nice to go out there, and you wanted to come up here and have a good showing, and we did that in the first game, and now we want to continue that and get third tomorrow.
St. Joe Ogden will be the opponent, as they had a tough battle with T-Town, but the Topless pulled away late. As you sat there and watched St. Joe Ogden play, what do you think?
It's going to be a tough matchup in a different way. They're not quite as quick or as physical, but they shoot the ball better, and we're going to have to play a good game tomorrow to be able to beat them too.
And you had mentioned to me before, you guys have a lot to play for tomorrow besides just third place.
Yeah, third place is one thing. There's only going to be two teams in the state that wins their last game, and that's first and third place. And also, 30 wins has an awful nice sound to it, and there's only been two teams in Hillsboro history to win 30 games, and we would be the third. So that's why I tried to tell them, yeah, it hurts now, but we got a lot to play for tomorrow.
And very few teams get to go into a game seniors knowing this will be our final game, because other than the state, it's one and done. So for this group of seniors who's accomplished so much, played so much basketball together, they know that the third place game is it.
Yeah, when you get up here and you're playing on Saturday, you know that this is the end of your season, or for in their cases, end of their high school career, the last time they're going to play with one another. So I expect them to come out and leave it all out there on the floor tomorrow.
And when the season started, Teak, did you think in your wildest dreams that you would be playing on the final day of the basketball season?
No, I knew we'd have a good season. I knew we had capabilities of being really good, but everything had to come together, and as the season went along, they did.
Teak, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
WSMI's Tim Mize, as he had a chance to catch up with Lady Hilltopper head coach Brett Teakin yesterday afternoon following the loss to Chicago Marshall 50-41. Tim also had a chance to catch up with Sammy Matouche, the outstanding guard for the Lady Hilltoppers, who not only has had an outstanding career, is the all-time leading scorer in Montgomery County history, but also was a participant in the three-point shootout.
We're here with Hillsboro Sammy Matouche, and Sammy, as we sit here at halftime of the second semifinal game, you've had a little bit of time to process the game with Chicago Marshall, just kind of your thoughts on the experience and the night.
Well, it was definitely a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I will probably, well, except for tomorrow, I will never get to experience this again. I'm a little upset that we lost, but I guess I'm not really that too upset, because I know, like, personally, I played the hardest that I could, and I don't know how much more I could have done.
Well, you couldn't have done any more, and you and your teammates, you left it all out on the floor, and you didn't trail until the fourth quarter, and for 30 of the 32 minutes, you had big, bad Chicago Marshall sweating big time.
Yeah, for sure.
As that game was going on in the first half, you really set the tone nicely. You came out and hit your first shot. That had to feel fantastic.
It felt very well. I don't know. I feel like I kind of knew it was coming, though, because I shot really well in warm-ups.
And, you know, sometimes when you shoot well in warm-ups, it doesn't carry over to the game. But in this case, it did. Just kind of talk about the game tonight and the quickness of them, the intensity. Just how was that game?
Well, we knew coming out there that they were definitely going to be a lot quicker than us, a lot faster, and they were going to put a ton of pressure on us. And I feel like in the first half we were definitely a lot more calm. We were playing the game that we wanted to play. But in the second half, I don't know if we got a little too comfortable with what we were doing, but they started applying more and more pressure, and we couldn't handle it. We couldn't keep our calm, and we let them push their game onto us instead of playing our game and what we do best.
And when a team puts that much pressure on you consistently, sometimes it can wear you down. And I would imagine that even going through warm-ups on a night like this, you use a little more energy than in a normal game.
Yeah, it was definitely kind of frustrating. I felt like each time that one of their girls got tired, they literally just put another girl in, and they just kept rotating and rotating, and it definitely started to wear on me, and I'm sure it wore on my teammates as well.
Just the experience as a whole, though, Sammy, from the time you got here yesterday, really this is probably the first time where you've been able to just kind of sit back and take a breath.
Yeah, like, I mean, every year I come up here, and I always thought, like, hey, one day I want to be able to play on this court. And last year I shot the three-point contest on this court, but then this year I had the privilege of actually getting to play a game on this court, and nothing can compare to it.
So the experience lived up to the dream?
Yeah, 100%.
It's been, I mean, it's a perfect way for you to end your career, a perfect way for you and your senior teammates to end your career. Everybody, you had so much pressure on you coming into high school, Sammy. Everybody expected so many great things. And I told you earlier in the year, you lived up to all of them. And I guess the only thing left to do was get to state, and you did it. So it has to just feel amazing.
It does. It feels amazing.
And I know Teek had said, tomorrow you have a chance to go out and win 30 games.
I said at the beginning of the year that I wanted to end the season on a W, and the only way you could do that was to make it here. So, I mean, I'm pretty proud of us, but we're still not done. I feel like we can show up and play well tomorrow.
And to your point, when you make it to state, you know you've got two games. So for a lot of seniors, they go into a game not knowing if it'll be their last game. You go in to the third place game knowing this is your final high school game as a topper. So what do you think the emotions are going to be for you?
Well, personally, I don't like to look at it as me like playing my last game. I like to look at it as we've beaten all of these other teams, and unfortunately, they don't get to have the same opportunity as us. So we were lucky enough to play more games and keep advancing. So I look at it as, hey, I get one more chance to play with my best friends.
Awesome. And after the game was over, obviously a crushing defeat, but nothing to be ashamed of at all. You guys hold your heads high for what you did tonight. But then you had to go shoot three-pointers, for goodness sakes. How in the world did you find the energy?
Well, luckily I'm more of a arm shooter, not a leg shooter, so my legs may have been dead, but I hit the gym a little bit.
It worked out very well. And you shot early in the prelims and set the tone. You were the final of four shooters tonight. And then the girl goes out and makes 13. What is going through your mind when she canned 13 of them?
Good for her. Like, I mean, she made 8 yesterday. She didn't hit a single one from the top of the key. And she made 4 today. So props to her.
And then props to you, because knowing that you had to go make 13, you went out and made 12, for goodness sake.
I feel like there was a little bit of pressure on me. And then, like, after I missed out one, I was like, oh, what the heck. Let's just make the rest of them.
Sammy, it's been a thrill to watch you over the years, and I look forward to seeing you play one more time.
Thank you so much.
WSMI's Tim Mize talking to Sammy Matouche, and coming up on the other side of the break, we're going to be talking with Tim Mize about not only his experience, but his observations from Redbird Arena, and we'll do that right after we take care of radar weather and take care of a little business. WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on here on this 23rd day of February, and joining us now from Bloomington Normal, here's WSMI's Tim Mize. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, T. Good to talk to you. It's raining up here as well, but anytime you're at the state tournament, it's a good news day.
Well, always a good day to be at a state basketball tournament, and I failed to even mention the Class 1A matchups yesterday. In the state semifinals yesterday in 1A, Lanark Eastland just got by Hume Shiloh 64-63, and Danville Slarman defeated Lewiston 58-41. So at 11 this morning in the Class 1A third place game, Lewiston will take on Hume Shiloh. And then in the state title game in 1A at about 1 this afternoon, Danville Slarman will take on Lanark Eastland. And, of course, then later tonight at 5:30, Hillsborough gets St. Joe Ogden. And Tim, you had a chance to be with the Lady Hilltoppers on Thursday when they were pulling into town, and they had the shoot-around and the banquet. You got to see them play last night. It's just such a terrific atmosphere at the state basketball tournament.
It's just a lifetime experience for these young ladies, and as the years go by, they will remember last night's game, no question about that, and as time passes, they're going to have fond memories of that game. They led for 28 minutes against the powerful Chicago Marshall team, but I do think that the experience on Thursday is really what Hillsborough will remember about this state experience, as they got to practice on Redbird floor for 30 minutes on Thursday, and then they were just getting whisked around by the different IHSA personnel to get all the different logistical things taken care of. And so it was just a really neat environment on Thursday, and certainly a once-in-a-lifetime type of experience.
And for people who, you know, the normal fan and parents and such, they don't realize that once you get to a state tournament site, all of a sudden the IHSA, you know, has to run things pretty much by the book, by a schedule, and in order to get everything accomplished that they need to get accomplished. And so you got to make sure to be in the right spot at the right time, and there are people, you know, basically marshaling you around from one spot to another. So it's really a break from the normal routine that most basketball players go through once you get to the state tournament.
There's nothing normal about it, and I mentioned that to you a couple different times. Like, you can't even trick your players into believing this is just another game because of everything that surrounds it. There's nothing that feels normal about it, and you're exactly right about everything being on a time schedule. On Thursday, there was a fire alarm that went off at Redbird Arena shortly after the Toppers were done practicing, so everybody had to vacate the arena, so that put them behind schedule a little bit. So as a result of that, you heard Sammy talk about she's just kind of been running around since she got here, as she made 10 three-pointers in the preliminary, so she had to wait around to see how that was going to shake out. But the banquet, the IHSA banquet, started at 7 o'clock, so all the other Toppers had to leave the arena to come back to the hotel to get ready for that. Sammy had to wait, so by the time she got from Redbird Arena after the three-point contest, she got changed and down to the banquet hall in 4 minutes.
Wow.
So she was just running around crazy to get where she needed to go because, as you said, just everything on a very precise time schedule, but they wouldn't trade it for the world.
No, and you know, when we've talked an awful lot about Sammy Matouche and the skill level of Sammy brought to the Lady Hilltoppers and just the ability to put points on the board, but I tell you what a great cohesive unit this Hilltopper team was here this past season after really catching a bloody nose at the end of the previous postseason. You know, they had something they wanted to prove.
And they proved it. And, Terry, I think they really, even though they lost last night, they proved to everybody in the state that they are one of the top teams in the state. They had Chicago Marshall sweating for 28 minutes last night. They had them on the ropes. Unfortunately, they just weren't able to finish it out. But they had a one-point lead with 2 minutes to go in that ball game. And I don't think anybody in Redbird Arena that wasn't wearing orange expected that to happen last night. So they might not have left with the win, but they left with the respect.
Yeah. And of course, as Teak mentioned earlier in your chat with him, a chance to end the season on a winning note, which is why I like the Illinois High School Association State Basketball Tournament. I like that third place game. I think it's a terrific idea. I hope they never do away with it because it does give you an opportunity to play another game on the big floor and a chance to close out your season on a winning note.
It really does. And Teak and I were talking on Thursday, similar to a conversation you and I had a couple days ago. If the new format goes into effect where all four classes are on the same weekend, it's going to be hard for them to continue to play the third place game. And if the third place game were to ever go away, that would be a major loss for the state tournament. But looking to the Toppers today, will they be able to get up? They were very dejected last night. A lot. I mean, they spent the whole weekend smiles on their faces, bouncing around, and you could just tell last night they were devastated with the loss. And you come so close to winning the state semifinal like they did, and then you come up short. I mean, I'm sure it was a long, sad ride back to the hotel last night. But I told Sammy after we were done talking last night, hey, make sure you don't let your teammates go to bed upset tonight. Nothing to be ashamed of. Hold the heads high and get ready to go for that third place game.
And I've noticed over the years in a few of the third place games that I've been able to broadcast, a lot of times it's not the Sammy Matouche that's the player that inspires the team. It's one of the other players that kind of gets in the face of their teammates and says, all right, now let's make sure we go out on a winning note. So looking forward to the third place game tonight and against St. Joe Ogden. What do you know about St. Joe Ogden?
Well, I mean, they were with C-Town for about a quarter and a half last night, and then the Wooden Shoes just blew the doors off in the second half. But I mean, it's gonna be a tough matchup for Hillsborough. Different type of style, obviously, than Chicago Marshall, but Hillsborough's gonna have to do a better job on the board than they did last night. And they just got knockdown shots there. I mean, that was the key to their whole postseason run. And last night, I think they were 4 of 22 from 3. It just wasn't their night. But, you know, I think a little bit of the pressure probably off tonight. So I really wouldn't be surprised if we see Aubrey Rupert, Kyvie Meyer come out and shoot tonight like they had in the sectional and super sectional.
Hey, there are hundreds and hundreds of other teams who would gladly trade places with the Lady Hilltoppers right now. And they just don't have the opportunity. So the Hilltoppers, even though they suffered a tough loss at the hand of the defending champions, certainly 25 years from now, they're going to look back and say, wow, what a ride it was.
Oh, you're exactly right. And, 25 years from now, they will not really remember the dejection they felt last night. They're going to remember the joy of getting to the state tournament, of taking Chicago Marshall down to the wire, and hopefully the joy of raising that third-place trophy at the end of the night. At halftime last night, Terry, I was thinking about the Staunton Bulldogs in 1993, because it was a similar situation. And as that first half went along, you couldn't help but think about that occurrence right there. But Marshall found a different gear. Dorothy Gators has won 1,100 ball games for a reason. They did a good job of taking Sammy away in that second half, and they did what they needed to do to get the win last night. But the Toppers have nothing to be ashamed about, and we'll see how they can come out today against St. Joe Ogden. And, of course, Terry, it'll be a neat time at halftime of that third-place game. It's been 20 years since you were up here covering Nokomis on their way to their back-to-back state champions. And that championship team will be honored at halftime. So that will be a very neat moment, a big night for Montgomery County coming up at Redbird Arena.
And that was 20 years ago where Nokomis beat Carrollton in overtime 45-40. And I can still remember the play that turned things around is when Coach Maury Huff put in Jana Spears as a defensive replacement. And 2 seconds later, Jana was able to draw a charge on, I think it was Casey Symes was the point guard for Carrollton, and that was her fourth personal foul and put her on the bench, and that kind of changed the momentum of the ball game, and Nokomis held on and won it in overtime. So what great memories, and it'd be terrific to see the Lady Skins honored there at halftime. So that's awesome. That's pretty awesome.
The symmetry of it all is pretty good, that Nokomis will get honored at halftime, as Hillsborough will play in the state tournament, as Sammy Matouche and that group of seniors wind down their career. A perfect place for them to end their career.
And we talked about Sammy Matouche 6-7 years ago, back when she was in junior high, and we were saying, you know, how does she fit into the picture here as far as, you know, being amongst the top players we've ever seen? She fits. She fits perfectly.
Right, and she's an all-timer, and, you know, the history of Montgomery County basketball is littered with elite players, and Sammy is on that short list of the best to ever place them up in Montgomery County. She's probably not going to get to 11th place on the state's all-time scoring list, but 12th ain't bad.
12th's not bad. 12th's not bad in a trip to the state tournament. No way. That ain't bad at all. Not bad at all. Tim, we'll let you go.
All.
Looking forward to the broadcast tonight.
Before you let me go, Terry.
What? Yes?
Before you let me go, I want to say happy birthday to you, sir. Yesterday you turned 63, and just happy birthday, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate it. Enjoyed the broadcast. We'll enjoy it again tonight, and get the Toppers a win for us.
We'll see if we can bring it home. And they will have their coming home celebration 1:30 tomorrow at the junior high gym.
At the junior high gym. Okay.
Yes, they have the high school gym was booked. I guess they had some sort of dance competition that was supposed to be at the high school a couple weeks ago, but just the weather, it got postponed and rescheduled at the high school. So it will be at the junior high tomorrow at 1:30.
Be at the Dragon's Den. All right. Very good. Thank you, Tim Mize.
Yep, see ya.
Take care. And WSMI Sports Saturday will continue in just a moment. 9:31 on this Saturday morning as we roll along with more WSMI Sports Saturday. Terry Tonin with you, and we are glad that Tim Mize was able to join us here just a few minutes ago. But joining me now on the telephone, my buddy Dave Kane from the State Journal Register. David, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Terry. How are you? And belated, and Tim already mentioned, but again, belated, happy 63rd to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's hard to believe that it's 63. Time flies when you're having fun. you know?
Exactly. Well, what do they say? It's only a number.
It's only a number. That's
look
right.
Look at it that way.
That's right.
There you
That's
go.
Right. I'm just wondering, yep. is it a prime number or is it a non? I don't think it's a prime number, 63. I think it's divisible by something else, like 7 or something.
Yeah, something factors
yeah.
into it. Yep.
So,
yep.
And you were at the ball game yesterday with the Hilltoppers, and
right.
just give me your perspective on the game with the Chicago Marshall.
Well, yeah, and I know you guys have been talking about it most of the morning. The first half, it couldn't have started out much better for Hillsboro in terms of, you know, they were kind of able to, you know, sort of dictate the pace a little bit. I mean, they like to push the ball, but against a team like Chicago Marshall, you know, you don't want to get into a proverbial track meet, but they were able to, you know, play at their pace. They were getting some good shots. Sammy Matouche was getting quite a few shots, which is always a good thing. And, Marshall had quite a few turnovers there in the first half. Some of them were forced and some were just unforced. Hillsboro was up by 10 at halftime. And you knew, obviously, being down 10, Marshall was going to have to try to, you know, kind of pick it up defensively. And they obviously did in the second half. I think Marshall's depth. I think Sammy talked about it a little bit a while ago. You know, Sammy only got, I think, 3 or 4 shots in the second half, and Marshall rotated several different defenders, you know, on her at various times to kind of keep fresh legs out there, so to speak. And they just, Marshall just kind of gradually, I don't know, just kind of wore Hillsboro down, it seemed like. The Toppers had quite a few turnovers in the second half. And, I don't know if Marshall may have underestimated Hillsboro just a little bit going into the game. I mean, obviously Dorothy Gators said they had all the respect in the world for the Toppers, but Marshall really had to pick it up in the second half. I think Brandi Hudson, who's one of the few seniors that Marshall had, you know, she was dealing with a leg injury part of the second half, but she kind of rose to the occasion, had a big second half, and they had 3 other girls get in double figures. And that's kind of a hard thing to overcome, when Marshall had threw a lot of weapons out there. So, I think the final score is a little bit misleading. I think Marshall hit some free throws really late to ended up, you know, being a 9-point margin. But I think anyone who was there would tell you it was a lot closer game than the final score.
The two things that kind of stood out to me, number one, that Marshall really didn't play very well in the ball game, especially in the first part of the ball game, but they were only down 10 points. And to me, that just kind of stuck in my craw thinking, you know, if they put together a pretty good second half, they're going to be right back in this thing, and that's eventually what happened. And, of course, it's about making adjustments at halftime, and Dorothy Gators and was able to do that and mm-hmm. basically take Sammy, you know, shut Sammy down there in that second half. So.
Yeah, yeah. Again, they I know Marshall, going into the game, Coach Gator said Marshall had a player, I can't think of her first name or last name, was Sims, who they felt like she was their best, as they say, on-ball defender.
Yeah.
And I know she guarded Sammy quite a bit, but then you would look up and there would be another player guarding Sammy and then a different player, you know, and they were able to sort of, you know, in a way stay fresh that way, just running kind of some different girls at her. And, you know, and you guys talked about too, you know, some of the other Toppers didn't have, you know, maybe the shooting nights that they're used to. Kylie Meyer, you know, had a lot of good looks at the basket and maybe was just off a little bit, and she even admitted maybe some of her shots were rushed. Aubrey Rupert finally hit a couple of buckets there in the second half. She got into a little bit of a rhythm. But as it turned out, Sammy, you know, ended up being the only double-figure scorer for Hillsboro. And in big games like that, you know, here down the postseason stretch, usually they've had one or two other girls, you know, get into that 10 to 12-point range, and they just weren't quite able to do that last night.
So it's going to be Chicago Marshall in T-Town, and it's deja vu all over again, huh?
Right, you're right. I think last year that was actually maybe the semifinal when Marshall played T-Town, and I think Marshall won like in double overtime. It was, when you think about it, two of the just great girls programs,
yeah.
you know, in the state of Illinois, going at it. And here they are, you know, going at it again. It, you know, it, as everybody has said, you know, it still seems a little strange that Chicago Marshall is Class 2A, but their enrollment is definitely below that cutoff. So, yeah, Marshall against Tita. And I think Hillsborough against St. Joe Ogden should be a really good matchup. Truthfully, I didn't get a chance to see much of St. Joe last night, but you know, they just have a lot of a good sports tradition over there in that Champaign area. But I think you know, Hillsborough, you know, here's a chance to finish with a W, and not many teams get to do that. And hopefully, you know, if there were any jitters or any nerves last night, you know, hopefully that won't be the case tonight, and Hillsborough will you know, hopefully they can come out on top and finish on a high note.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's basically what you to end the season with a W, even if you don't win the state title, is still pretty important at the high school level. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know, I've heard comments over the years, you know, whether it's baseball or volleyball or whatever. Oh, why do they play a third place game? But I think if you make a state semifinal. And if you come up a little short, I mean, I think it's easy to say, but I think maybe you deserve maybe one last shot to go out there and show, you know, kind of show what you're made of and show what you're capable of. And, you know, I can still remember, you know, a third place situation back in 2000 at the Boys State Tournament in Peoria. Pleasant Plains mm-hmm. beat Riverton in triple overtime in a
yep.
semifinal. And, that was back, you know, there was still the eight teams and you had to play those two, you know, little morning or late early afternoon semis, and that was the second semifinal. Riverton had to turn around in a very short amount of time and play for third place, and they battled. I can't remember if it was Rock Falls. I can't remember exactly who they played, but they battled down to the very end before they fell a little bit short. So, you know, you could tell those kids that still meant something to them, even though it was third place and not the title game. And I'm sure this evening the toppers, they'll feel the same way.
And the thing I like about the third place game is the fact that from time to time, coaches will make sure and get the kids in that don't maybe get a whole lot of playing time during the season, and they'll get an opportunity to play several minutes in that third place game.
Right, right. You know, and obviously depending on a situation, if it's a really tight game down the stretch, you know, I think the coach probably wants to keep his or her, you know, top kids out there, but it, you know, like you said, it does maybe give a coach, you know, one more opportunity if the, you know, the situation presents itself, gives them a chance, you know, for a young man or a young woman to get out on that state tournament floor, and that's an experience they'll never forget.
Well, in other news, Nokomis wins another regional tournament in boys basketball. How about that?
Yeah, boy, wow, yeah, that could have knocked me over with a feather with that one. I think. Going into that regional, Nokomis was a favorite, even though, you know, they had to play the home team on their floor last night. But Nokomis won really convincingly, and now they go to Altamont, and I believe they play St. Elmo
yeah,
in the semifinal.
St. Elmo beat Altamont, which I think was a bit of an upset last night. You know, maybe the top two teams, but St. Elmo was playing on their home floor, which probably helped them a little bit. So.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt. But I think a lot of us, we look at that sectional and you see Nokomis in the one game and you see Central A&M in the other game.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I think if things go as you might expect, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a Nokomis, Central A&M rematch, you know, for a sectional title. Last year, of course, they played at Moequa. And people were hanging from the rafters in that game. There was a lot of orange and black in that place that night. So I'm sure, you know, Coach Steve Kimbrough's team would like another chance to play the Raiders. So maybe that'll pan out.
Yeah, so Nokomis gets St. Elmo 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. And then on Wednesday night, Central A&M will get Odin at 7 o'clock in the other sectional semifinal at Altamont. So, and mm-hmm. West Central, they're going to play in a sectional semifinal. Winchester is going to play on Wednesday night against Okaville. And in the Tuesday night game, it's going to be Madison against Jacksonville Rout. And I think Madison's a team you've got to really take serious as far as making a trip to Peoria.
Oh yeah, I mean traditionally it's one of the, you know, Madison's one of those, it's one of those teams during regular season you don't always hear a lot about them because they play a, I think they're independent, so they play a very tough schedule. They play a lot of 2A and 3A, yeah. Maybe even some 4A teams. I don't know, but yeah, traditionally they're very strong. I want to say the last time maybe they made a state title game was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. They lost to Illini Central in a title game, but I think we can remember a couple of sectional battles they've had with Nokomis.
Yeah.
I think there was a multi-overtime game 1 year where Madison somehow prevailed at Nokomis. But yeah, and, you know, Route, I don't know, they were not maybe a mild surprise winning a regional. Route has some very good athletes. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they might be a little bit of an underdog. And like you said, Winchester West Central, you know, they won at New Berlin last night, beat the Pretzels. You know, obviously playing Oakville on their home floor, that's never easy. And Oakville has I don't know if you've ever been there, it's an amazing facility for a Class 1A school. It puts a lot of large schools to shame. So yeah, that'll be interesting. And then, and more up in the Springfield area, there's a 2A sectional at Riverton.
Yeah.
And, Riverton, the Hawks pulled off a little bit of a surprise last night. They beat Williamsville.
Yeah,
for the regional title at Williamsville.
I was surprised that they survived Williamsville, and they will get Tremont at Riverton on Tuesday night, and then the other game has Plains and Warsaw, and that'll be the Wednesday night game at Riverton, and the Painted Panthers will be playing in the sectional semifinal of Vandalia on Tuesday night, and then they will see the winner of the T-Town Mount Carmel game if they survive on Tuesday night. So,
right.
Fun time of year, man.
But I'll tell you, it's like, oh, well, we still have several weeks of basketball left. But before you know it, it's going to be over with, and it's going to be track season and baseball and softball and girls soccer, and it just flies by. Every year goes by a little faster than the last.
And Dave, while I've got you on the horn here, talk a little bit about, in girls 3A basketball, Sacred Heart Griffin has made it to the Super Sectional against Effingham. They'll play at UIS. Tell us a little bit about SHG. Do you know anything about them?
Well, I'll be honest, I don't know a tremendous, because usually I cover the smaller schools. I just know that this is the first time. You know, obviously they have a great sports tradition. It was originally Sacred Heart Academy, and now it's SHG. Just a great sports tradition. But this is the first time Sacred Heart or SHG has ever won a girls sectional.
Which I find just absolutely so hard to believe, but, you know, that's just the way it's worked out over the years. So.
Right. They've just maybe just always run into somebody, you know, maybe a Springfield High or somebody like that. But, yeah, and they're taking on Effingham, and I really don't know how good, well, Effingham must be good. They're sectional champions.
Yeah.
But, you know, SHG, at least they don't have a very long trip. They're going to play, play at UIS on the south side of Springfield there. They were used to be called Blazers when they were Sacred Heart Academy. Now they're the Cyclones. So, hopefully, the Cyclones can take that next step and make the state Final Four. They're making a little bit of a history for themselves.
Yeah, that's great. So, well, are you still in Bloomington for today then?
No, believe it or not, it's just kind of a complicated deal. We have another fellow from our staff who's going to be covering the third place game tonight, and I'm going to spend the better part of the day kind of putting together some preview stories for the basically for the boys, the boys sectional tournaments that are coming up this weekend. So that's kind of how I'm spending my day. But I'm going to try to tune in to Tim for the play by play this evening. And again, hopefully the Toppers can finish out on a high note. And the Toppers in general, and Sammy Matouche, hard to believe, wasn't that long ago she was a freshman who had braces, and here she is, 2,800 points later, she's playing her last game of a tremendous high school career. So the time flies by.
Yeah, gosh, it seemed like yesterday I was covering 7th and 8th grade state tournament games with the Lady Dragons of Hillsboro, and Matouche was, kind of leading the way there back in the junior high days. So, yeah.
Right.
Time flies. Wow.
One last thing. Yeah, one last thing. I think you guys mentioned it. That is going to be kind of a special thing tonight at halftime when they're going to honor that Nokomis team from, that's been hardly 20 years ago. But yeah, a lot of people from Montgomery County will be, as they say, kind of busting their buttons. A lot to be proud of. A lot of girls' basketball tradition down there.
And you go back, Dave, even and take a look at the South Central Conference this year, where 6 of the 10 teams finished with 20 victories. That is just something that's absolutely unheard of. And to have Hillsborough run the table. I mean, it seems like it's been 6 months ago since they finished the conference season, but when you think about, you know, 6 20-win teams in a conference, that's incredible. It says so much about the conference.
Oh, no, yeah, no question. Ironically, yesterday before Hillsborough's game, I saw Kyle McBrain there,
yeah.
Who, you know, he's a Hillsborough alum, so he had a rooting interest last night. But, you know, he coached the Staunton Mount Olive girls to a school record for wins, and I know he's stepping away from that position. But just reminded me again of what a great season the whole conference had between Carlinville and Staunton and Greenville and Pena. It's a very good conference every year, but this year in particular was just outstanding.
And my compliments to you, Dave, for your articles you did on Dorothy Gators and Brett Teakin and Bobby Allen. I mean, that it's for people who don't follow coaches and how coaches operate and the relationships they have with their teams and everything and with each other. Those were terrific articles.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. You know, I especially the Hillsborough one. You know, obviously we've known both coaches for years and years, and Bob Allen, who had such a successful run at Litchfield, and you know, it's just kind of the Lady Hilltoppers are so fortunate to have a coaching staff like that. And you know, last night I think Tim Mize may have mentioned it. You know, last night Paige Cullison, who's also on the coaching staff, and you know, she normally would coach a freshman team, but they really didn't have many freshmen this year. But they were still able to get her on the Toppers bench last night. So that was kind of a neat, you know, experience for her to get to coach, you know, on that state tournament, court. And I'm sure she'll be there again tonight.
She had some game in her day. That's for sure. I remember that.
It's really, really amazing how the time goes.
David, we're going to let you go. Dave Kane from the Stage Runner Register. Always a pleasure, my friend. And, enjoy the remainder of the, March Madness, okay?
Yeah, hey, okay, Terry. Hey, good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Take care, my friend.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Dave Kane from the State Journal Register joining us this morning here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Need to take care of a little business. Back with more in just a moment. WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on here on this 23rd day of February. I want to remind you, coming up in about 6 minutes on WAOX 105.3 The Ox, pregame coverage of the Penn State at Illinois college basketball game. The tip is set for just about 11 o'clock. Pregame coverage starts, as I mentioned, in about 6 minutes on the Ox 105.3 WAOX. Cardinals baseball premieres, spring training game. We had the Cardinals taking on the Marlins. That's set for 11:45 this morning on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Your home for Cardinals baseball all year long. And then tonight we'll have the third place game from the Class 2A Girls State Basketball Tournament at Redbird Arena as the Lady Hilltoppers of Hillsborough go for win number 30. They will take on St. Joe Ogden. Our live coverage begins about 5:20 this afternoon on WSMI FM 106.1, and we'll stream the game online at WSMIRadio.com. Well, just to get you caught up a little bit on some other basketball scores that we didn't get to earlier in the program, and another game that was heard last night on WSMI FM 106.1 in 1A regional tournament play from Neoga. Nokomis beat Neoga 60-31. So Nokomis will take on St. Elmo. St. Elmo defeated Altamont last night 56-53. Other 1A regional championship games at Hardin last night. Madison beat Calhoun 66-54. Okawville knocked off Marissa at Marissa 52-51. At Mason City last night, it was Triopia defeating Calvary Academy 55-39. At New Berlin, Winchester West Central beat New Berlin 57-34. At Odin won on their home floor 36-21 over South Central. At Pace and Seymour last night, Camp Point Central beat the host school 41-34. At Wayne City, Woodlawn over Thompsonville 58-40. And at Cesar Villiers, the host school beat Steelville 62-59. At Carrollton, it was Jacksonville Route beating Barry Western 61-48. And at Edinburgh last night, there was Central A&M. I think they're the third-ranked team in the state in the latest poll. Central A&M beat Tri-City 70-43. And in some sectional matchups, in Class 1A on Tuesday night, at Altamont, it'll be St. Elmo taking on Nokomis. At Okawville, Madison will play Jacksonville Route. And at Lewiston, it'll be Triopia against Peoria Christian. Then the Wednesday night 1A matchups at Altamont, Central A&M against Odin. At Okawville, West Central Winchester against Okawville. And then Camp Point Central will meet Elmwood at Lewiston. In 2A play, regional tournament play last night, at Southwestern High School, Alton Marquette defeated Greenville 44-40. At Pittsfield, it was Pleasant Plains 50, Porta 34. Pena beat Marshall 72-71 at the Shelbyville Regional. Another 2A play at Stanford Olympia last night, Bloomington Central Catholic crushed Macon Meridian 98-60. At Carlisle, top-ranked Nashville beat Westland 45-30. T-Town picked up a win over Effingham St. Anthony at St. Anthony last night, 58-33. And finally at Williamsville, it was Riverton defeating Williamsville 39-31. So in the 2A sectional boys basketball matchups on Tuesday night at Riverton, the Hawks will be on their home floor. Riverton will take on Tremont at 7. At Vandalia, the Pena Panthers play Fairfield at 7. And at DuCoin, Pinckneyville will take on Alton Marquette. The Wednesday 2A boys sectional semifinals at Riverton will have Warsaw against Pleasant Plains. At Vandalia, Tautopolis against Mount Carmel. And at DuCoin, Nashville will take on West Frankfort. Also, the boys 3A and 4A regional tournaments will be getting underway next week. But first off, I want to mention one more time, girls 3A super sectional at the University of Illinois Springfield, as Effingham will take on Sacred Heart Griffin 7 o'clock on Monday night for the right to go on to the girls 3A state basketball tournament. Now in boys 3A regional matchups on Monday night at Breeze Central, two games are set. Civic Memorial plays Roxana, and Breeze Central meets East Altonwood River. At Clinton, it'll be Springfield Lamphere playing Clinton. At Freeburg, two games, Freeburg against Cahokia and Columbia taking on Waterloo. At Olney, Charleston plays Paris and Effingham meets Mount Zion. At Rantoul, it'll be Rantoul against Muhammad Seymour and Decatur MacArthur against Eisenhower. And finally at Salem in 3A play, Centralia against Benton and Mount Vernon against Triad. And in 4A games on Monday night at Belleville West, it'll be O'Fallon taking on Belleville East. At Collinsville, Granite City will take on Edwardsville, and Champaign Centennial meets Normal Community West at Champaign Centennial. So that's how the boys match up in 3A and 4A, and that is going to do it for Sports Saturday. We are out of time. Boy, did this hour fly by. Thanks to Tim Mize for joining us. He'll be along with the broadcast of the Hilltoppers game at 5:20 this afternoon. Thanks to my good friend Dave Kane from the State Journal Register for joining us. Hope you enjoyed the program. Penn State, Illinois, getting underway in less than a minute on the Ox. The Cards and the Marlins, 11:45 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. The Lady Hilltoppers in St. Joe Ogden, 5:20 this afternoon right here on WSMI FM. Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. Have a great sporting weekend.